Our guest speaker today could practically walk to work. Andrew Hofstetter and his wife are actually the youth director and associate youth director at Wayne Presbyterian Church. Andrew's going to tell you of his ministry, and I'm going to tell you how Tom told me about Andrew. Andrew is Tom's bagman. Now, it's my understanding, yes, David, it's my understanding for the past couple years, a day or two after Christmas, with this church's wonderful Christmas challenge, Tom and Andrew meet in a bank parking lot. Tom comes out and hands Andrew a very thick envelope. They pray over it. Andrew and his wife go on a plane to Liberia, and they go to the equivalent of Home Depot in Liberia and purchase as much home products and repair as possible. So again, what this church is doing in the name of Christ does affect literally across the world. And Andrew, we're grateful for your time and your message.
Good morning. I'll be reading our second scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. So listen for a word from God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So thank you all so much for having me this morning. It's a delight to get to worship with you on this side of Lancaster Avenue this morning. I'm Andrew Hofstetter. I am on the board of God's Precious Children, which is an education nonprofit that works in Liberia. And I'm also here on behalf of Sinye United Methodist Church that you all have helped support over the last couple years. It's especially great to get to worship with you on this Sunday, World Communion Sunday, where we celebrate being a part of the family of Christ that stretches across the world and includes my friends, my brothers and sisters in Liberia. So I don't know about you, but when I look at the world today, I can often get pretty overwhelmed. I mean, I turn on the news and I hear stories of storms that are destroying corners of the world. I hear stories of acts of hate and violence. I hear about icebergs melting and dysfunctional political systems. It's all kind of nasty and discouraging. It can leave me feeling pretty hopeless at times. Then on top of that, we all have stuff going on in our weeks that bring extra stress to our lives. Maybe things aren't going well at work and your boss isn't happy with you. Maybe someone you love is sick, or maybe you're sick or injured. Maybe the bills are starting to pile up at home, or you got an F on a test at school. There's a lot of things that can lead us to sort of feeling like we're in despair, make us feel hopeless. And I don't know about you, but so often when I'm starting to feel that way, I retreat. I look for an escape. And my escape so often is to my couch, where I binge watch some show on Netflix. It's not always necessarily the best thing to do, but I find myself doing it again and again to get out of the feelings of anxiousness that I have. So what can we do when we're in the midst of struggle or stress? What hope can we find? I think a lot about this, too, with my friends in Liberia. They're less than 2 decades away from a civil war there that decimated most of the infrastructure and led lots of people to be displaced from their homes, and a lot of people were killed as well. Now, in some ways, Liberia has been recovering. As we've been going over the years, we've seen new roads get paved. We've seen street signs and traffic lights go up. We've seen power starting to stretch across the country and delivering electricity to villages that are in remote corners of Liberia. But sadly, there's still lots of signs of regression as well. Inflation is on the rise, and it's devastating the poor agrarian societies there. When we first went to Liberia 4 years ago, the exchange rate from Liberian dollars to U.S. dollars was 90 to 1. I just Googled this last night, and it's up to 210 Liberian dollars to 1 U.S. dollar. At this point, a regular Liberian dollar has no value, the government has said. And I was also thinking about one child that I met last winter. She was telling us about her family. Her dad's a school teacher, and that's his sole real job, and her mother's unemployed, just sort of looks after the house. Her dad earns $30 a month to be a teacher at the school. So between that and working the school farm and selling things in market, they got to piece together funds to pay for food and hopefully schooling and medical bills and whatever else might pile up. So you could see that even though a lot of the school fees for the year are only $40 to $120 for most students, that even this amount can be insurmountable for a lot of families. Because all it takes is one bad accident or one health issue or one bad crop, and all of their savings are wiped out for the year. I also visited a leprosy colony the very first year I went. And when our friend in Liberia was telling us about it, I almost thought he was kidding. I didn't think leprosy still existed. I thought that was one of those old Bible diseases that didn't exist anymore. But sure enough, there's a village that is full of lepers and their families, and they carry the stigma of leprosy even if they don't have the disease. And it was obvious just walking around the village that these people were far worse off, were having a lot harder time finding jobs and getting employment. I remember when I came back from this colony, the leprosy colony, for the first time, that I just really felt hopeless. I felt like all these beautiful kids that I had seen playing were trapped, that they would never have safe and rewarding lives. So friends, I come to ask you this morning, do we have hope? Do we have any reason to be confident about our lives and this world? This is part of what the author of Hebrews is wrestling with, is trying to talk with his audience about. The early church had many struggles. It was not a particularly easy time to live. Everyone under Roman rule had to pay high taxes and were under strict and firm Roman control. They also had little access to education and healthcare and advancement. Beyond this, Christians in particular were persecuted. The Jews saw Christians as heretics. They saw them as converting their good and righteous fellow Jews to following this crazy lunatic Jesus who was claiming to be God. And the Romans saw Christians as rebels, people who were stirring an already volatile pot. And they didn't like that the Christians refused to worship Caesar. So being a Christian in the early church was trying. And many Christians got discouraged and abandoned their faith. The author of Hebrews was trying to encourage and empower the church who was feeling discouraged. He wanted to remind them of the reasons that they had to be hopeful. He reminded that because of Christ, they had hope. Christ was greater than the angels, greater than Moses who brought them the law, greater than Aaron and the priesthood and all of Jerusalem. Through Christ, they were cleansed once and for all from their sins and made righteous before God. Through Christ, they had permanent access to God whenever they wanted, that God would be a permanent part of their lives. The author of Hebrews was reminding the people of the church not to give up on life, but to hold unswervingly to the faith that they had received through Christ and the hope through it. He wanted to empower them to love and encourage each other, to embody love and hope to their brothers and sisters when they needed it. Now, you all might not realize this, but you have brought a lot of hope to our friends in Liberia. There's this church right now in a very small, remote village called Sinye that today is remembering you with gratitude. For the last 2 years, you all have partnered with them, and through your Christmas giving challenge, have sent them thousands of dollars to help renovate their church. When they came to us with this request, their church kept getting broken into because thieves would break in through the windows and bust down doors. So we helped secure their church, and you also helped do necessary renovations. And then last year, you all helped create a Sunday school building, a new Sunday school building for the students there that were growing and thriving, which was really great. And when I was talking with the elders of this church, telling them that I was going to be speaking to you this morning, they were so excited and sent me a video so I could show it to you. So just to warn you, this was filmed on a cell phone, so the picture and sound is not fantastic. So I apologize ahead of time. But they really wanted to show you the building that you helped build and wanted to thank you. So if you can play the video. So these are the students of the Sunday school. And this is in a church service while we were there worshiping with them. They were very gracious and hospitable to us. And then they gave us a tour of the surrounding village. And that's the Sunday school building in construction. So a lot of the kids in that last shot are kids that are currently sponsored on the program. I think a couple of them are students who are looking for sponsors, and we have some profiles in the back after worship if you feel led to pick one of them up. But it just brings me such joy when I see these kids and when I think about all of the children and families that God has been blessing in Liberia through our efforts and through the efforts of the churches there that do amazing work and other ministries. It is so clear that God has not forgotten his people in Liberia, that God cares so much about these kids. And it's exciting for me to be a part of it. I one of my other favorite things, we had one of our really good friends actually grew up in the leprosy colony, and he did so well in school that he was able to get a college scholarship in Amsterdam and is now an official in the Department of Health, and during the Ebola crisis helped save hundreds and dozens of villages and families from the disease. Yeah, I've seen so many examples of how God is at work in the lives of even in the lives of these people and even in this country where when you look at it, there's just so much, so many struggles they have. And it's wonderful to see that Christ is faithful to them. As Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Friends, I know a lot of us here today live with stress, fears, and anxieties of this world. Some of us have schools, coaches, or parents who put unrealistic expectations on us to succeed and thrive. Some of us are in jobs where we're overworked and underappreciated. Some of us struggle to make ends meet or have health issues or feel estranged from our loved ones. All of us have difficulties in our lives that bring us stress and anxiety. But as the author of Ephesians says, let us hold fast to hope because Christ is faithful to us. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. Know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, Hebrews is calling us not just to escape our fears, but to face them head on. Christ is our hope, and we are called to bear this hope to our world that is thirsty for it. We are called to spur one another on, reminding each other of the hope and joy that we have in Christ. So I close with this. Who is God calling you to share hope with today? On this World Communion Sunday, remember that you have sisters and brothers across the world who need hope. And you could share that by sponsoring one of these students. There's also brothers and sisters in your pew and in your home and in your schools and in your workplace that need hope. And maybe God is calling you to share hope with them this week. Remind them of a God who is present in their lives and loves them and cares for them. So join me in getting off your couch, and let's together be bearers of God's love to this world who needs the hope that we have. Amen.